Thankfulness is the kind of the theme for the morning. I don't know if you're familiar, actually, we're going back on Sunday evenings, we're going back into the book of Acts, and there's one incident in the book of Acts where Paul goes to Lystra, and the folks there, they've never heard of Jesus, they've never heard of the one God, and Paul just reminds them these words. He says, God's not left himself without testimony. He's shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven, drops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food, fills your heart with joy. And that's true. God is a generous giver, and we want to take the opportunity that this morning gives to give him thanks. And well, let's come to God in prayer. Let us all pray. Let's pray. Lord our God, you are indeed a great God. You're a great King, above and beyond anything or anyone we have ever known. You are our Maker. And Lord, we acknowledge you again gladly this morning as the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we thank you for this opportunity to give you thanks for all that we, in particular, as a family of people, as individuals, for all that we have received from your hand, for all that has blessed us, kept us, the food we eat, the family, the friends we have, the fellowship that we enjoy. Lord, just the ordinary, everyday blessings of health and life. As well as with that, Lord, we thank you for the hope and the help that sustains us when life is more challenging or painful. All around us, there is so much that testifies to your goodness, your greatness, your kindness. And above all that, though, we thank you that you have not only given us gifts, but you've given us in Jesus, your Son, you've given us yourself. And not only to us, but for us. Father, we thank you for that. How we thank you that when we forgot you, you remembered us. When we turned away as a race from you, you came looking for us in Jesus. And how we thank you in particular for your willingness not to count our godlessness, our greed, our selfishness, our sin against us, but to lay them all upon Jesus on the cross, and your willingness, Lord Jesus, to take them from us, to bear them for us. Thank you again this morning for that forgiveness, that grace that we receive as we look to you, as we trust ourselves to you in faith. And thank you, too, that because of your death and resurrection, there is that promise that you will one day restore and renew us completely, and indeed the whole creation. So, Lord, in these moments as we gather before you, bless us, we pray. Bless us through your word. May your Spirit take that word and awaken us to yourself, to who you are, and also to our right response to you. And so hear us further as we rejoice to be able to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, so we're going to read. There's kind of a variety of readings this morning, just taken from different parts of the Bible. And we're going to read them together, actually. We're going to read them in kind of two halves. So this section here, you're going to be section one. You're the green section. The slides are in green color that you're to read, okay? And this section, you're section two, and your slides are in brown. So if it's brown, you're reading. If it's green, you're reading. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, this is from lots of different places, and I'll just, there we are, green. So who's green? Good. This side's green. This side's green, and this side is? Good. Okay, so this is God's word from different places. So, green, number one, you're away. Then God said, okay. This. Wait a minute. We'll get in step, will we? One, two, three.
Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit, seed in it, they will be yours for food.
Okay. Good.
The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and set aside the desire of every living thing. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy.
Everything God creates is his good, and nothing is to be rejected. It is his sheep that protects him.
Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people.
Good, good, good. Well, that's they're just taken from all over the place. And I really should have warned you that that first one was the longest one and the most difficult one. I should have said that to you at the beginning. But they're all from over the, and this is the theme. Now, boys and girls, those of you who can read that word, gratitude. Does anybody know what gratitude is? What's gratitude? That's a big word, isn't it? Yeah, Charlie. Yeah, basically it just means thanks. It's just another word for thank you, for saying thank you. Gratitude is what you feel when you're grateful, when you're thankful. And so gratitude is what we're going to think about this morning, because this is harvest. This is a harvest Thanksgiving service, and it's good to think about gratitude. So gratitude is the... Somebody said it. I heard it. Yeah, gratitude is the attitude. That's right. That's what we want to develop. Gratitude is the attitude, and because it's there in those verses that we read, isn't it? It's there in that verse right at the beginning about God making everything, and it's there in Jesus there. Jesus just, there's Jesus giving thanks, gratitude. And that's what we want to think about this morning, that God made, God gave. And we're going to think about it in a couple of different ways this morning. But anyway, gratitude is the attitude. Okay. We're going to think about something in particular just for this next wee minute. Hopefully, yes. Now, this is just a very, very brief, simple quiz. Boys and girls, and anyone else who wants to, if you think the answer to this is true, then you need to stand up. If you think it's false, you just need to remain seated where you are, boys and girls. So is this true or is this false, that there are over 2,000 varieties of fruit in the world? Is that true or is that false? If you think it's true, stand up. Oh, you're a bit slow here. You're watching. Yes, it's true, right? Sit down. Well done. There are. Right, here's the next question. Okay. The world's most popular fruit is the banana. Is that true or false? That is false. It's the tomato. Who knew that the tomato was a fruit? That's what I want to know. Right, okay. Right, next. The jackfruit is the largest fruit in the world. There you go. Okay, there is. Yeah, it's hard to know scales, isn't it? But that's the biggest. Yep, okay. Right, strawberry has over 200 seeds on the outside. Is that true or is that false? Okay, that's true. If nothing else this morning, you'll go home really fit. Okay, right, here we go. Right, so is that true or is that false? I'm always interested to see who looks around to see who stood up. Yeah, there you go. That's true. That's true. Yep, okay. That's true. Right, next. This is called dragon's fruit. Is that true? That's false. That's a mangosteen, okay? This is dragon. Yeah, no, that's not a question, that's a statement. That's a statement, okay? This is dragon's fruit, that's dragon's fruit, okay? Right, so there are so many kinds of apples that if you ate a new one every day, it would take over 20 years to try them all. Is that true or false? Yeah, that's true. Can you believe that? Well, that's true, right? Pineapple tree produces 5 pineapples per year. Look at these brave men. But unfortunately, they're foolish men. They're false men. Yeah, false. That's false. They're just one per plant, per tree, okay. Ripe cranberries can bounce. Is that true or false? Yes, they can. This fruit is called a hairy gooseberry. No, that's false. Called a rambutan, right, okay. So this Jamaican fruit bursts open itself when it's ripe. That's true. And it's called an ackee, that's right. Okay. So listen, there's just some facts and figures about fruit there. And I wanted to just go back, I just wanted to go back to this one, because this is, isn't that amazing? 2,000 varieties of fruit in the world. Do you ever think about that, boys and girls? That, you know, if we had a display this morning and we could have with fruit, there would be so many. We would have just had a few from what we use. I mean, I don't know. Who's got a favorite fruit? Anybody got a favorite fruit? Tell me your favorite fruits. Gavin, what's your favorite? Strawberries. Finlay. Strawberries? Any advance on strawberry? Anybody's favourite fruit, tomatoes?
No.
Can't imagine that. Liz, what are you going to say? Liz?
Mango.
Okay, Stephanie?
Raspberry.
Okay, so lots of different fruit. But do you ever think about the variety? Think about it. You see, you think about all the good things. You know how we're told you've got to eat five fruit and veg a day? And it could be because they give you nutrients, they give you good things, but God could have made it, could he not? He could have made it that all these nutrients, all the vitamins that you get from fruit, you could have just got it by a pill, couldn't you? Could have just been by a pill. Or there could have been all these fruit, but it could have been black and white. But just look at the picture there. Think of the variety there. Think of the different colors there. Think of the different textures there. Think of the different tastes there. They're all fruit. And where did that variety, where did those colors, where did that all come from? Genesis 1:11. It's God that made the fruit according to its kinds. He said, let there be fruit, as it were, trees that bear fruit according to their various kinds, and it was so. And again, I give you this is the goodness of God. Again, it's something I suspect we take for granted, and yet here's God just giving us this vast display, this vast array of different fruit, and we're only looking at fruit. We're not looking at all sorts of foodstuffs, and all of that is just a sign of God's goodness, his greatness, his generosity, his artistry. And one of the things I wanted you to think about this, boys and girls, is because sometimes, and this applies to adults too, sometimes you'll hear a little voice in your head that says something like, you know, God's a spoil sport. God's miserable. If I trust him, if I follow Jesus, that's going to make me miserable. You ever hear that voice in your head? You just have to think, would a God that's put all of that together generously, would he be a spoil sport? Would he be miserable? Can't see it, can you, if you think about it? God gives like that. And of course, not only just gives things like that, but has given his son Jesus for us. These are the things we need to think about when we're tempted to think that we miss out with God. No, that's the God who made all that. And therefore, gratitude is the attitude when you think about these things. Okay, well, let's just stand up and sing again together, just about for the fruits of his creation. Thanks be to God.
To every nation, thanks be to God.
Okay, please be seated. Now I've got another selection of readings that we're going to think about in a wee minute. And again, they're from all sorts of different places. They've got a common theme. Boys and girls, if you just listen, even some of you I know can't read, but you might listen and you might hear one word that I think runs through them all. It's there through them all. So you just listen. Remember, we're thinking about gratitude is the attitude. And yeah, we're back with the green side here. Okay, so. Okay, so again, what was the word that, thanks. There was thanksgiving, or there was thanks, or there was thank, but everywhere, all the way through those words, that's right. I want us to think just for a moment about some of those verses that we sang there. Again, remember what we're thinking about, just gratitude is the attitude. And I wanted to read to you just a few quotes from a guy called G.K. Chesterton, who some of you may know that name. He wrote a lot about thanksgiving, about gratitude. And this is what he said. He said, "I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder." And then he said this, "The aim of life is appreciation. There is no sense in not appreciating things, and there is no sense in having more of them if you have less appreciation of them." And on another occasion he said this, "When we were children," see if you can identify with this, "when we were children, we were grateful to those who filled our stockings at Christmas time. Why are we not grateful to God for filling our stockings with legs?" You get that? We're grateful to those who filled our stockings at Christmas time. Why are we not grateful to God for filling our stockings with legs? And then he said, "When it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or you take them with gratitude." Either you take them for granted,
or you take them with gratitude. And I want you to see that these... Oh, we're going back, sorry, to the beginning here. These verses that we read, they're all about thankfulness, gratitude, aren't they? There's Paul just saying, encouraging those who are in Christ, be overflowing with thankfulness. Whatever you do, give thanks to God. And then this one, though, I want us to think about this one. Did you notice the line in the middle there? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. And you think to yourself, is that possible? Is that really possible, giving thanks? Well, think about some of the other examples that we read. The one about Daniel, where he's giving thanks. Does anybody know when that comes in the story of Daniel? What's going on when Daniel gives thanks there? Chapter 6, verse 10. What's going on? The king has just passed a decree that anyone who prays to any god other than him will be thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel knows that. And not only does he pray to God, the living God, but he gives thanks. You notice that? And this Paul, anyone know where that one comes from? Acts 27, 35. Do you know what's about to happen there? Do you know what's going on around Paul when he gives thanks there? Yeah, he's in a storm. He's in a storm. The boat that he's with and all the people, the boat's about to be shipwrecked. And he knows it. Although he's also got a promise from God that he's going to survive and they with him. But in the midst of that storm, he gives thanks. And this one, Jesus, what's about to happen here? When does this one take place? Matthew 26, 26, 27. It's just the night before Jesus is arrested, tried, and hung on the cross. And yet here he is, taking some bread, giving thanks, taking some wine, giving thanks. There's just three examples, isn't it? Just Daniel, Paul, Jesus himself, giving thanks in a situation, well, that was not easy, that was painful, that was difficult. Is it possible to give thanks in all circumstances? Some of you will know that there's a very famous story, a true story, of two Dutch Christian ladies who found themselves in a concentration camp in the Second World War, the Ten Boom sisters, Betsy and Corrie. And they were in a terrible concentration camp. That was the picture that you maybe caught a glimpse of. There it is. I don't know if that's the... But it would have been something like that. And they're in a German concentration camp, and they're stacked all together. They're Christian ladies, but they're stacked all together. They bang their heads on the roof when they get up from their beds. The place is smelly, it's cold, it's filthy. And they're wondering, how do they live as Christians in this context? How do they live? And one morning, Betsy is reading her Bible, and she reads those words from 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. And she thinks to herself, well, all circumstances? So she says to Corrie, we should be giving thanks. Even in this, we should be giving thanks. And they start to list the things that they can give thanks for. And they give thanks that they've still got their Bible, that when they came into that barrack room, the guards didn't take their Bible off. So they've still got their Bible and they can read the Bible. And they even give thanks that there are so many of them packed in together that they'll get the chance to read that Bible to other people. And so many more people will hear because there's so many of them there. And so Betsy begins to think, and she says to Corrie, join in. Let's give thanks. Let's give thanks that we're still here. Let's give thanks that we still have each other. We've got our Bible. We're here. God is here. We've got the chance to talk about Jesus to others through that. And then Corrie is suddenly aware of fleas
The place is crawling with fleas, and the fleas are biting her. And Betsy suddenly says, let's give thanks for the fleas. And Corey thinks, oh, that's going a wee bit far. But Betsy said, but it doesn't say give thanks in pleasant circumstances. It says give thanks in all circumstances. I mean, and this is the place that God has put us, and there are fleas. Shouldn't we give thanks for the fleas? So Betsy gives thanks for the fleas, and Corey kind of says, yeah, okay, amen. But she's not really convinced. And then about a few weeks later, Betsy comes to Corey really excited and discovers that the reason why they've had such freedom to read the Bible together without any of the guards bothering them or interrupting them is not because they don't go into the other. They go into all the other barrack rooms and stop that kind of thing, but they don't come into their room. Why don't they come into their room? Because of the fleas. They know the guards don't want to come into this barrack room because of the fleas. And so suddenly they realize God even had a purpose in the fleas. Now, you don't always know what God's purposes are, but there's just one example of somebody taking seriously that giving thanks in all circumstances. And the thing I want just to leave with you in, and I think this is crucial, how can you give thanks in all circumstances? There are things that are so difficult, aren't they? So painful. But here's Jesus knowing what's about to happen to him, knowing that the cross is about to happen, knowing that it's going to be darkness beyond anything anyone has ever experienced. He's going to be forsaken. And yet he's giving thanks. How can he give thanks for the broken bread, for the shed blood, which he knows is going to be his broken body and shed blood? How can he give thanks for these things? Because he knows what lies on the other side of them. He knows that that darkness and that death is going to be born for people like us so that we won't have to go through that darkness. He knows that all that darkness, all that pain is going to be for the salvation of people like us. It's actually going to be for the glory of God. And so seeing that, for the joy that is set before him, for the joy that through that cross he's going to be able to give to others, people like ourselves, he knows the darkness won't have the last word. And so knowing all that, looking ahead to the future, he can give thanks. And I think that's the key, actually. There are lots of things in our present circumstances that it would be hard to give thanks for because a lot of them we can't see. It's not like the fleas where Corey and Betsy did see a reason for it. Sometimes you don't see any reason for the darkness. But what you do know as a Christian is that the darkness won't have the last word. That's what Jesus' death and resurrection assure us of. There's always light and hope on the other side of the darkness. And so even though you may struggle to give thanks for your present circumstances, you can give thanks looking back at what God has done for you in Jesus, and you can give thanks looking forward, knowing that beyond the darkness, there's always light because of Jesus, because he endured the darkness for us on the cross. There's one last quote that I found, and I want to give it to you because it's from Corrie ten Boom. In all of this, she said this, with Jesus, even in our darkest moments, the best remains. He's still with us. And the very best is yet to come. And if you get that, I do think it's possible to give thanks in all circumstances.
Let us pray together. God of the universe, we thank you for your many gifts. We thank you for the beauty of creation, for the earth and its varied fruits. We thank you also for the fresh water and the fresh air, for food and shelter, animals and plants. Forgive us for the times we have taken the earth's resources for granted and wasted what you have given us. Transform our hearts and minds so that we would learn to care and share, to touch the earth with gentleness and love, respecting all living things. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.